I'm not saying I'm pro incest. I'm just saying like it shouldn't be illegal.
What?
Hey everybody, and welcome to the 35 millimeter colonoscopy podcast, the show where we go colon deep with our unfiltered takes on the movies we've been watching. My name is Spencer. I'm joined by my main man, Giovanni. We're also joined by our other good buddy, Aaron, who wants to abolish International Women's Day. Aaron, come on. That's not
Very
that's
true.
not
We can sick of
that's I mean it's
Friday.
true.
Ooh.
It's not I can't support it. I mean, but
You can't support what,
whatever.
women?
You can't support women. That's what you want. You want to
Aaron's a
abolish
known
your National Women's
provocateur.
Day.
Aaron's a
Oh,
known
okay.
provocateur.
He's a pro.
Provocateur.
Dude, this is back. This was in high school. Aaron, I don't know if you remember this, but you said you were talking about you jokingly said you wanted to abolish income tax, and then you yelled, "Abolish the 13th Amendment." And I looked at you, I was like, "That's the one that freed the slaves." And you're like,
I
"Oh,
didn't say
he's
that.
not wrong. It's a double meaning. It's a double meaning. I freed the slaves, but also made slavery legal. Come on,
That's
shout out to
true. That there's a big call
Spider-Man.
for that, Spencer. There's it's
Yeah.
like a something with the prison system. I listen, I don't fully understand it, but hey,
Listen, but
That's
you didn't know
tough.
your
It's a good
amendments.
cause.
Income tax is the 16th Amendment.
Is
Yeah.
it
Know your
really?
amendments.
Oh, That's
fuck
beyond
the
the scope
16th
of this
Amendment, dude.
podcast, I think.
Goddamn
Beyond
right.
the
I agree
scope.
with that.
You're right. You know, that's a future podcast episode
Yeah,
devoted
we'll do a podcast.
entirely to income tax.
Yeah, in our third act career as a podcast, we'll go straight to politics.
I want to know what the
No,
second act will be.
That'll be our family movie stage. Just strictly
Oh, we're
watching Puss in
devoted
Boots.
solely to Hallmark
That's our
movies.
sellout stage, I think. When we're just going the big movies. We're clickbaiting every video.
Oh yeah, dude. Drawing big circles in the
No, the politics is
thumbnails.
gonna be our nonprofit stage. That's when we had our breakdown already. Got the band back together.
Definitely.
All that. But fellas, how's the week been, huh? Come on, we're back at it. New week, new movie.
So,
How you
Spencer,
been?
do you want to tell them how you got me sick, or do you want me to tell it, or?
We don't. First of all, you could have also gotten me
You were
sick
sick
because
first.
I have an iron immune system.
So do I.
No,
Oh,
you
says the
don't.
guy
You
with
can't.
fucking infected lungs.
You can't even drink milk. Let's just get that out of the way.
All
And
right.
this, you can't even
Hey,
Well, you
whoa.
didn't have to get offensive, Spencer.
You just alienated all of our lactose intolerant viewers.
Lactose intolerance people,
No,
where you at?
not the
Stand up.
lactose intolerant community. I'm so sorry. The LIC. How could I? No. So Aaron came out and visited. I live in a different state than Giovanni and Aaron do. And Aaron came out, said hi, spent a nice weekend together. Very sweet, very romantic. We saw a shooting star.
It was great.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Lovely.
I would say it was not the healthiest weekend. There was a fair amount of adult beverage
Oh
consumption
yeah,
and
plenty
not
of
a whole lot of
breakfast
sleep.
tacos
Plenty of
and
boozing.
A couple of boozy Susies out here.
Come on. Hey.
And so when I woke up Monday morning with a cough and a sore throat, I just attributed it to that. I was like, yeah, that was just not, this is penance for my sins. And then, 5 days later, wake up Friday morning, still feel terrible. So I rolled into an urgent care and, long story short, I have infected lungs. So they kind of listened to that and they gave me a steroid shot, which went so deep into that left butt cheek. I mean, just
You did it
so
to the left.
into the ass.
Interesting.
They did let me choose. She said,
Oh,
"Which side
really?
do you want?" Which I thought was very classy.
That is classy of
Yeah,
them.
but at that point, it
Yes.
brings
And then
up the
she.
question, though, like, what do you go with the stronger cheek, or do you go with your soft cheek?
I
The one
say
that's close
I
to
went
them.
soft. I went soft cheek. I went soft cheek.
But don't you think the
I because.
stronger cheek would take it better?
But you don't want the
No,
stronger cheek
first
to
of
be out of
all,
commission.
yeah, you don't. I would
That's
also
good.
push
That's
back on
good.
the idea that any of my cheeks are strong.
You're
But
not doing squats,
I,
Spencer?
no.
What?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I have a stronger cheek than
100%.
I
Re
absolutely have a
How do you
stronger
have a
cheek.
stronger cheek?
My right
How
one,
is that?
easy.
It's like your dominant foot. It's like your dominant foot, right? So mine's like my left. My left cheek is so definitely stronger, I bet.
Yeah, no. And when I,
100%.
yeah, no, definitely when you clench, I mean, come on, you can definitely feel that one cheek is doing all the work,
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're on the
Yeah.
same
Well,
page, Gio.
I was assuming, I'm a righty dominant guy. So it's like, all right, I'm gonna go left, just because it's probably if I'm gonna lose a leg, I want it to be my left leg,
True.
Yeah. So sore, but I'm telling you, it did. It helped. I'm feeling much better. Love to hear it. Yeah.
Good.
And shout out to steroid shots.
Shout out to the doctors.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Aaron, how are you? We still don't know what's wrong with you.
You know, Spencer got me sick, so we do know what's wrong with me. I was kind of confused, but you know, I'm doing better because I have a better immune system than Spencer, obviously. Don't have infected lungs. Well, I mean, it's objectively true now.
You missed like 2 weeks of school in high school.
That was a scarlet fever.
Nobody with a good immune system gets scarlet fever.
Everyone with a good immune system gets scarlet fever
since the 1930s.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I
have one orange. Just eat one orange and you'll be
fine. I love oranges. Oranges all the time.
That's scurvy. That's scurvy.
I'm sorry. I mixed up my fevers.
Yeah, no. But fellas, I want to say I've been eating a bunch of fiber lately.
That's good.
Getting my fiber intake, eating oatmeal, getting some flax seeds in there. My poops have been immaculate lately, let me tell you.
It's good to hear. I've been concerned.
Yeah, nice and solid, you know. I just wanted to give you guys an update on that.
Yeah,
you know,
I appreciate that.
I feel like I'm on, you know, like that higher level of toiletry. You know, I'm on that Tom Brady level.
You're on cloud nine.
Tom Brady.
No, that was... Shout out. Gio did once text me. I still remember this. You said, excrement is the key to existentialism. And... It was something along those lines. It was excrement is the key to enlightenment.
That's the title of this episode.
Wow. That was not the title.
I'm writing it down.
Like, now my best line. I didn't even know I ever said it. Wow.
That's
true. It's absolutely the truth. I mean, you can tell it. I mean,
Aaron. Oh my truth. Wow.
I mean, they even talk about it in South Park. You know, I mean, you remember the episode? Yeah. Come on, Spice.
Spice. What are you talking? You just switched up. All right. Anyway, the movie of the week, the movie for this episode is Dune. Dune 2021. At the time of this recording, we had all just seen it. Albeit separately, we did see it in theaters doing our part. Maybe it was one of us.
We saw it with Aaron. I saw it with Aaron.
Damn right. Me and Gio saw it together. Where were you, Spencer?
I saw it with like 25 people. So, I mean,
all right, yeah.
Who's
name,
really winning?
Name them all right now.
Super cool. Name them all. You know that Aaron Elstra?
All right. No. It's not dogs. It's not dogs, people.
You're right. Yeah, can you cut that out? Anyway. Saw it in theaters, doing our part to support the industry. Gotta save this art form. So I guess we can kick it off with our initial thoughts. Either of you want to go first? Anybody feeling particularly strongly about Dune?
You know, I want to go first today. Usually I'll let you go first, but today I want to start us off.
Usually you're a gentleman.
I'm a gentleman usually, but today I'm very excited about the movie. I fucking love this movie, dude. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen it probably like five times now. But dude, it's great. And I read the book like while I was out with Spencer. Like, dude, this has got me so hyped. I love it. It's great. Great cinematography. Great special effects. Dare I say it's 2001: A Space Odyssey of this generation?
Dare you say?
Dare I say it?
Wow.
Dare you say? Wow. These are very strong words. These are very strong words.
It is very strong.
Extremely.
I honestly kind of feel similarly. Like, I remember me and Aaron went to go see it. We went to see it at the Dolby Cinema. It was one of like the ones, like the, you know, AMC at Dolby Cinema. They have them in like a few locations. They're not everywhere. But let me tell you, the experience, it was like the first movie in a long time that made me physically gasp, like in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We were in there. It was like an all immersive experience. I don't know if you guys know about the Dolby Cinema, but I mean, they got like, you know, the shakers in the seats, you know, all the speakers surrounding you, like 100 speakers in there, who knows, the crazy crazy screen, you know, it's an all just total sensory orgasm basically. And I was just blown away. I feel like my jaw was just open the entire time. Yeah, this movie got me, I think.
Totally agree.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. Definitely concur with that. I've seen probably a handful of movies in theaters since we started getting back to reopening, but this was the first one where I was like, yes, yes. Like, this is like, I'm feeling it. Like, I feel the energy. I can feel it inside me, like in my bones. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, that movie is built for movie theaters. Like, it 100% is.
Yeah.
I can't wait when part two comes out and it's going to be exclusively in movie theaters. We're going to get rid of this whole hybrid release thing.
Mm-hmm. At least for Warner Brothers. I don't know if any of the other studios. I think Disney's still planning to do streaming.
They'll probably still split it. I think a lot of studios Disney's, are going to start splitting it.
Disney's was a little bit different because theirs was like, you can go see it in person at a theater, or you could pay $30 to watch it at home. Whereas HBO Max is like, we're just going to put it out there for free.
Yeah, gonna...
So obviously that's going to like kill your box office revenue.
Naturally.
Yeah. So we'll see. But anyway, for Dune specifically, I'm like Aaron, I've read the book. I read it over a year ago in preparation for when it was supposed to come out in like December of last year. And so some of it I was still a bit foggy on, but seeing like the movie brought back so much. And I told Aaron, I was like, I'm so jealous that you saw this movie before you read it, because now you know how to actually pronounce all the names and the words in this book.
How did you tell me you like, pronounced Atreides?
Definitely not as Atreides. I'm pretty sure I called it Atreides. I think I called it Atreides. like in my head. But like I never would have guessed it would be pronounced Atreides. Like that never would have happened. I think I'm pretty sure I had Harkonnen right, Harkonnen. I was closer on Bene Gesserit or Bane. I don't even know. Like, I'm still confused.
Bene Gesserit.
But
Bene Gesserit.
See, we just said it three different ways.
Well, here's the thing is that's how they pronounce it in like the Dune. Like they pronounce it in like Dune 2021. They do like Ben Gesserit or something. And then in the fucking old one, the David Lynch one, they pronounce it differently every time there's a goddamn fucking new character on screen.
They say Harkonnen, I think, in 84. And then, like, Harkonnen. Harkonnen sounds way better. It's just, like, rolls off the tongue. But
wasn't Frank Herbert alive then? Why didn't he give him notes? When did Frank Herbert die?
I'm sure he did. I think we can all tell from watching Dune 1984 that they weren't listening to Frank Herbert's notes very clearly.
Yeah, he was 2 years out from dying, too. So
yeah, no, it's
probably a good choice.
Not at all. I will like just to keep on going on the point, this definitely kind of like reinforced that one quote. It's like a famous, you know, QT Tarantino quote. It's like, cinema is my church. And this was absolutely proven for me in like this movie, just seeing it at the Dolby Cinema. I can only compare it to like, I don't know, those other like just super formative and impactful movie experiences of my life, you know, like, I don't know, Fantastic Mr. Fox, when it came out, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. Kill Bill, you know, like when I was a kid, like I can only compare it to those really just like awe-inspiring, impactful movie theater or cinema moments that it, this was just on that scale every way.
Yeah.
Totally agreed.
No, I was so much worth the wait. I'm so happy that like Warner Bros. Like, they gave it to a phenomenal filmmaker, like arguably the best, or at least one of the best of our generation.
Let's hear the pronunciation sense.
Denis Villeneuve.
Thank you.
What?
Villeneuve.
Professional.
I think you just mispronounced it, Spence. I'm not gonna lie, both of you. I had to look this up because I know it's Denis Villeneuve. Not Villeneuve. It's Villeneuve.
Fair enough.
Villeneuve.
I'll take that. Villeneuve. As long as you're not saying Denis Villeneuve or whatever.
Who said that? Someone
Dude,
said that.
Someone, many people have said that. It's so funny.
I think it was definitely good. Pre-Dune era. Because I feel it like was, after Dune, everyone figured out how to say his name.
Nah.
But pre-Dune, it was the Wild West on his name.
I think they fucked it up at the Oscars. I think somebody fucked it up at the Oscars. Dude, it's so good.
No way. I can see that.
Blade Runner era?
I can see that for sure.
No, I don't think it was Blade Runner. He got nominated for something. I think he got nominated for Prisoners or something. But
I was about to say, if it was Blade Runner era, imagine.
Can I?
Right?
That'd be embarrassing. I'm gonna pose a question here to the you know, I have a little open forum. Yeah, Blade Runner 2049 or Dune? What's the better Denis Villeneuve movie?
Oh God, that's.
And who wants to tackle this one?
I don't know. That's an issue.
I think. You know what? I'm gonna say this. You can't compare them because Dune 2021 is only like
I agree
a part of a movie. I literally was thinking about this. Like, it's this one feels just like a part of a greater movie, and obviously it's part one. They say that in the title card, setup, yeah. But it feels like that throughout. I mean, it feels like just part of a greater story, a greater, just bigger movie whole, you know. So you can't even compare it because this is basically one third of a story, or really half of the first book, and then like, you know, and the other half hasn't even been told. And 2049 is a complete, you know.
It is a complete story. It is in like one of like the most important like culturally like sci-fi universes. Both of them are. Yeah. But yeah, they're really not comparable, you know, like in filmmaking wise, like I guess you could say that one of the other is better, but I haven't seen 2049 in a while. So I don't really want to be like, oh yeah, Dune's better just because I feel like Dune's better right now. But also if I watch 2049 tomorrow, I feel like I'd be like, oh fuck, you know?
Yeah. It's
I think 2049 is probably better. And there's like an objective aspect of like just cinematography, I guess. And like whatever visuals, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of like not easy to compare.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's fair. I just figured I'd throw it out there. You know, good.
Yeah, of course.
Good, valid. Some good conversations to have.
Valid.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. No, go ahead, yeah.
Oh no, I was gonna say like I think this is probably this is his most successful film, like easily. Yeah. Dune 2021. I mean. And they were taking a big chance going in on this, you know. I mean, Blade Runner is kind of like famous for being kind of a box office failure, for lack of a better term. Like, even though it was praised, I guess, by audience scores and like critics, it just did not do well at the box office. And it was just like, and it was an expensive movie to make, obviously, like hundreds of millions.
I think Denis called it like a $150 million art house film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was how he described it.
Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah. So, they were taking a chance on this, but they absolutely hit it out the park.
Obviously, like, phenomenal person and talent behind the camera. But this cast, in addition to being stacked in terms of just name and star power, there were some, like, I would say interesting casting choices that I thought paid off. The one that Aaron, I can't tell you about this, that surprised me, Dave Bautista. Like, very small role, but I liked what he brought to it. Totally agree. He's a guy that I think in the stuff I've seen him in, I don't know, outside of like Guardians and maybe his more We Gotta Pay the Bills, Stuber, My Spy movies, like I've enjoyed him. Like I think of all the wrestlers turned actors, he's the one that's been taking acting most seriously. When you look at what The Rock and John Cena are doing, like it's very much a...
Whoa. Don't disrespect John Cena like that.
You're
right.
Anybody? Come on.
Don't disrespect the man. He was in the Fred movies for the crying out loud. Give the man some respect.
Yeah. As a thespian.
You're right. He is. I apologize to the John Cena. Speaking of apologies, remember when John Cena apologized in Mandarin for recognizing that Taiwan existed? Yeah. Wasn't that silly goofy?
That's so funny. That's literally hilarious.
What an era, honestly. Yeah, no.
That's a time in history.
Though. I agree, though. Yeah, Dave Bautista.
Anyway, yeah. He good in this movie. Phenomenal, Blade Runner 2049.
Yep.
And then I was like, if he tries, like he took a role in Skyfall with no lines just to be in like a good movie. So I appreciate that. I like that he was in here and just continue to like put the name and ego aside and just doing good work. I enjoyed that. Not the biggest fan of what Jason Momoa brought to the table in this film. I'm also just not like, I love him as a person, but in terms of a talent, not a big Jason Momoa believer.
You didn't like Aquaman?
Actually, I didn't really see Aquaman. I didn't think I needed to.
Yeah, you did. No. Very forgettable. I don't remember a single thing that happened in that movie other than Amber Heard being hot, but fuck her. Wait, this is an anti Amber Heard podcast.
Aaron, please don't turn away our audience.
No. The internet agrees. She's like fucked up.
The internet does seem to agree.
Yeah, they hate Amber Heard. Hot. She's I think hot. Everybody, like, no.
Everybody but Warner Bros. Seems to agree.
Did she get kicked off the set? I thought she got kicked off of the set of Aquaman 2.
Has she? I thought she was still in there.
I hope she has.
Yeah. But no, so then obviously then I think the big one, and we've talked about this man on our podcast a lot and how we are not the big buyers into this man's hype, and that would be Timothée Chalamet. And that is how you pronounce it. Timothée is how you're supposed to say it. Not Timothy. We've been wrong. It's Timothée.
Dude, it's Tim. I'm looking at the spelling right now. It's Timothy. He can say whatever he wants.
Where was the source? Let's get some work cited.
What's the source? What's the source? The source is Timothée Chalamet himself. He said on the Graham Norton show.
That is the most pretentious thing I've ever heard. There's no way his parents actually. Who? No.
They 100%.
Was it a joke? Did he take it out of context?
Yeah.
Was it a joke?
No,
it could have been a joke.
They asked him how to pronounce it. He said technically, technically it's Timothée, but you can call me Timothy. You can call me.
No, that's nonsense.
Okay,
whatever.
Nonsense. This is his name.
No.
All right. Timothy. I'm just saying, if we would call him Saoirse Ronan, right? We're gonna show him respect.
Yeah.
No, we'll call him Timmy. Timmy Chalamet.
Call him Timmy.
That's the compromise.
But to be fair, how else are you supposed to pronounce Saoirse? Saoirse Ronan. How is he supposed to pronounce that? It's not like a simple. Her name isn't Sarah, and she's trying to say that it's Saoirse. You know, that's a little different.
But we've talked about him as being a good actor that is completely overhyped and overblown. I'm curious, as a group, what's our consensus on old Timmy's performance in Dune?
Joe, I'll let you take it.
Oh, this performance! I even told. I told Aaron coming out of it, this absolutely flipped my view on Timothée. This, I think, was the one that really made me like just appreciate him as an actor and like see, you know, how good he is, I guess. I mean, which we always knew, you know, he always had those chops. I mean, he was literally born and raised in it. But this one specifically, his role as Paul, for lack of a better term, vibe he brought to it. He hit all the marks, especially in just the first, like the opening scene, the Gom Jabbar scene. I think that's where it got me. It sold me. And I was in for the rest of the movie. That Gom Jabbar scene, he was just excellent in that. And throughout the whole movie, he brought the exact right kind of like line delivery, for lack of a better, or like, you know, exact right attitude to every scene, you know, exactly how like it needed to be brought.
Yeah, I was torn on his casting, and just in a like ideological sense when it comes to movies. Like, I never know how to feel when they cast somebody like an older established actor for a character that's like a child, which is essentially what Paul is in Dune. He's 15, and you see it happen. Like, you saw it, like terrible execution in Percy Jackson, right? Casting Logan Learman and Alexander Daddario to play like 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's tough because it's like, okay, generally you're going to get a better actor if you hire somebody older and more experienced, but you're immediately being less truthful to the source, and it changes the character. Like, age is such a big aspect of a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 15 versus 23 is a huge difference.
Yeah.
And again, Timothée Chalamet does not look like he's 23.
He has that boyish face.
He's got the boyish face.
And to be fair, I don't think that you really need to like stay that close to the source material to like, especially when you're adapting it for a movie, you have to take creative liberties. Like, there's a lot of scenes in this.
That's arguable.
Look, you know,
that's arguable.
I think if
we use the Percy Jackson example, I mean, Brandon T. Jackson, that was a full-grown man. Brandon T. Jackson. Yeah, he was a full-grown man. So that's
very good. That's also an example of them just making up a character in place of, like, Grover from the books. Like, that was not at all like Grover and Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Spencer, big anyway, Percy Jackson fan.
Big Percy Jackson guy. Rick Riordan, that's my dude.
Isn't he, like, a racist? I thought he was a racist.
You say that about so many people. I'll bring up any
that's
name.
That's not true.
Pretty sure that guy's right. Yes, you do.
That's not true. Like, oh. That's slander. Right.
It's not slander. It's not slander if it's true.
It's a good point.
But I was also, I'd say, impressed. Like, I was content with Timothy's performance. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I thought he got the job done. I don't know that it completely swayed my opinion on him. Like, I still think he's a good but not great actor. He's somebody that like can get the job done and be like above average for sure, but I don't know that he's ever going to move me in ways like other actors of this generation have.
Yeah.
But I was definitely like, it was, I'd say it was better than what I was anticipating. And like, I'm looking forward to Dune Part Two in part because of his performance. Whereas I was worried that I'd be not so hype on Dune Part Two because the main character is just not like, is miscast, but this movie kind of like shelved those beliefs. And we'll talk about this later, but it's not going to, Dune Part Two, that's not going to be Timothée's movie. It's going to be somebody else's movie.
I think my personal favorite performance of the movie was without question Rebecca Ferguson as Jessica. Maybe this is a hot take, I felt like to me she was almost like the obvious standout. Like she was absolutely my favorite performance. Like she brought the subtlety, all the subtlety in the character of being like a mother and then like a powerful Bene Gesserit. She brings that subtlety and nuance to screen perfectly. And again, I went back to it again, but in the Gom Jabbar scene, I mean, her knowing what she's about to put her son through, but also it being like a part of the greater destiny, I guess, she knows is meant for him. And even knowing, even for her knowing that she created this horrible thing to happen, which could lead like potentially to his death, basically like leading her son possibly to his death. And that balance and tension, she just captures that expertly in her performance, you know? And it kind of, I guess, like makes it almost feel like the ultimate helicopter parent for, you know, she's like just the ultimate helicopter parent. And she was just like my favorite performance. And also Stellan Skarsgård.
He was phenomenal. He was so good. Like legitimately like, haunting performance.
Because the
slowness that he brought to the role and like the very methodical approach that he had to like speaking, like that really made the character seem more imposing. So I thought I had Stellan and Rebecca in my top three, but my number one was Oscar Isaac. I thought he was perfect.
Hot take.
Perfect. Yeah. I really enjoyed him.
I think in this movie he's the example of like the perfect cast.
Oh,
like,
100%.
He did exactly what he needed to do.
Even when you read the book, it fits the character very well. Yeah. But anyways, I have a question for you guys. Do you have Oscar predictions for this movie?
Oh man, this is a much better year than last year for Oscars.
Well, I agree.
This year just far better.
I'm just saying nominations, not even wins.
I think it's going to be nominations. I see it coming with like what you see from these movies all the time. It's going to come with like 8 nominations. It's going to be all in those behind the scenes categories.
Yeah.
I don't see any acting nods coming from it. Just cause it's such a big ensemble cast. Nobody's really caring enough to get an acting nod.
Mm-hmm. I feel like supporting actor may get something.
I don't even see that happening.
I think Stella gets like a nom, but he's not.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if he's in contention, but that's like the only one really.
He'll maybe get a Golden Globe, but those aren't a thing anymore. never mind.
Here's the real question. Does Denis get a nod for directing?
Oh yeah,
that's what I was gonna go to. Oh, yeah. I hope so. I feel like he's gonna be Adam Sandler with Uncut Gems. He's like the sixth man out of five every single time. And I don't know if he can squeeze his way in or not. Trying to think of, you know, the movies that are gonna be in contention, and maybe he can sneak in.
I think he's in contention for it.
At least a nom.
He's in contention. Or a betting man. I don't know that I put money on it.
Who'd you put money on then this year? Wes Anderson? I feel like Wes Anderson never gets anything.
PTA?
It's noms.
PTA, I forgot that movie's coming out this year. Right. PTA would be a good one.
Yeah. No, but I think, you know what? This one is like one of those. I mean, we know that these big sci-fi epics kind of always get those, like you said, behind the scenes nods, sound. Editing, all that. But I think this one is one of those ones that really just deserves like it just deserves every of those awards, really. I mean, the sounds, they feel like they're from another universe. I mean, 100%. The score was, dare I say, provocative, you know? And I feel like the score was kind of giving a lot of hate, but almost, I mean, like, I feel like I was hearing that, definitely. Like, it, like people weren't feeling Hans Zimmer's score, which I guess I kind of see, but like, I don't know. Cause like also almost the entire movie has score playing under it, except for like one or two scenes. So this can make the movie, I guess, like, I don't know. Maybe it feels like the score is overwhelming, but I think that's what it was necessary, because it kept it going extremely, like, at a good pace, because this is like a, what, 2.5 hour movie, you know? And yeah, I mean, he's trying to learn from his mistakes. I mean, the reason that Blade Runner didn't land at the box office was because A, it was very long, and B, it was very slow. There was like no score in that movie, or hardly any, and it just, I don't know. Those are like the two things that like make audiences go like, no, yeah. You know, it's hard to keep an audience's attention, and just having that undertone constantly throughout, it keeps the pace. Like, this absolutely does not feel like 2.5 hours. I feel like it kind of feels long, but it doesn't. Like, at the end, I remember being like, damn, that was it? Like, hold on. Mm-hmm. There's not more, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah.
So I was about to ask you guys what you thought of the cinematography, but then I got on a rabbit hole of this cinematographer's, like, history. What the... Dude, this is wild. He did Foxcatcher. He did Zero Dark Thirty. He also did 2 Bob Dylan music videos. He did Dune this year. Next year he has Batman, or The Batman. The year after that, he has Dune Part 2. This man is on a kill streak.
He's killing it.
Before that, he did a couple episodes of The Mandalorian. Shout out to Greg Frazier.
Greg Frazier.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce his last name, but hey, shout out. Good work.
This movie, definitely, when it ended, I was like, oh, I want more. I want more. Dare I say I need more? It was so good. I love that he's splitting it up. And we talk about the pacing. I kind of want to get into Dune 1984 a little bit here before we run out of time. Okay. Because the biggest, I mean, first of all, they're completely different movies. Like, I feel like you would never know that they're adapted from the same book, these two movies.
If you change the names, definitely. Like, nobody would ever expect it.
Yeah. And I would say that I think the most notable difference, and where Dune 2021 is going to excel compared to Dune 1984, is going to be pacing. Dune 1984 is about 20, 25 minutes shorter than this Dune, covering the whole book, as opposed to this one covering half the book. And what's super weird is that in Dune 2021, the attack on House Atreides is like an hour or so in. I messed it up, I know. But the attack on House Atreides. The attack on House Atreides in the most recent Dune is about an hour or so in. In the older Dune, it's also about an hour or so in.
Yep.
The second half of that movie is so incredibly rushed, and there is so much left out from the book in that second half. It was appalling. Like, I was actually upset watching, where I was like, this is like not good.
Yeah.
Like, this just went from, like, the first half, I was like, this is, I mean, it's tolerable, you know, like, there are some aspects of it that I was somewhat enjoying, mainly just being like a movie lover and loving watching like this very 80s sci-fi kind of vibe that I had. Yeah. By the time we got to the second half, I was like, this is just garbage. Like, David Lynch, like, I expect so much more from you. And I do love that he has been, in the last 3 decades, just roasting this movie as well.
Yeah,
I appreciate that very much. He's a good sport about it. But man, I mean, obviously there's so many huge differences, but I think that was like the biggest one to me.
But Spence, come on.
I'm listening.
There's no pug in Dune 2021.
Why was there a pug in Dune 1984?
There's no pug.
Why is he holding that pug? And then there's we have a major character death, and the pug just like runs across again. What are we doing?
That is what you call nuance, Spence. Art. It's filmmaking. This is cinema.
Okay, this is cinema. Martin Scorsese would be proud.
There's no dude, putt. There's no putt.
The old dude, it's so like, because Spencer, I mean, we talked about this after I read Dune, right? Like the pace, yeah. Like, because you hadn't watched it yet by the time I had read the book, so you watched it recently.
I finished it this morning.
You
yes. So I watched
84.
Yeah.
Yeah, you finished 84 this morning.
Let's see. You but just said get a good podcast.
It's fucking garbage.
No, I,
like, it's but it's watched... great garbage though. Like the scenes with like the shields and they look like Minecraft fucking Steve.
Oh, that was dude, so bad. Dude.
I was like, all right, guys. Like, it, like, there's so much better ways. I feel like they could have like symbolized the fucking
shield. Honestly, I would have rather them just worn a shield. Like, honestly, just dude. Like it won't look as cool. But I mean, no. First of all, it'd look better. Just wear a shield. no, that was right. If anybody ever asked me, like. Do you have a good example of like the advancement in technology? I wouldn't even show him like a phone. I wouldn't show him a cell phone. I would show him this movie and then Dune 2021. And I'd show him those two fight scenes and be like, look at how far we've come as a society.
As a society. That's what we're going to show the aliens. Like, dude, this is how we've advanced.
No, I think this is like, but it's like hilariously goofy though. Like I love and hate Dune 1984. Like, this is without question Lynch's worst film. Like, there's just no doubt about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know, but everything about it is just so goofy. I kind of love it. Like, it's like the Baron specifically, I think, is just hilarious. And this, I mean, he's just like all he does is just like he screams a bunch and then, you know, he has a bunch of sores on his body. And he just like floats around everywhere, you know. Yeah.
He's a joke.
And you can see you can see the wires a lot. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
He was flying, dude. Yeah. It's so bad.
Oh my god, it's hilarious.
There's one scene where he's floating down the stairs, and you can tell that they had a ring light like pointed on him, but it like fucks up at a certain point, and it just shines the light on like the line. And it's like, bro, come on.
It's so funny. I love it, but I hate it. It's dog. It's like, look, it's dog shit. I'm sorry.
It's dog
like,
shit.
The best part, the best parts about it are like its goofiness and like what's it called? The Baron, and that's just about it. And then like the main character, I forgot. I'm like forgetting what his name is. Twin Peaks. I'm sorry.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan. There we go.
There we
Kyle
go. Right.
He's like the best part about it, and. He's just, that's just because he's like just so lovable. I mean, it's hard not to. He's so charming. He's like, it's hard not to just love Kyle MacLachlan on screen.
He's the only one that's doing, I'd say, some level of acting in that picture.
Yeah.
So interesting little Dune lore. I know that Aaron, you and I read the books. Chiyo, you haven't. So if you're not a book person, maybe cut out for the next like 1 minute. but in the book, it is stated. Oh shoot! Wait, Gio, you. I don't know what time
it is. I already know what happens. I already know what happens.
He knows what happens. It's fine. So it's fine.
Okay, in the book,
spoiler alert.
You find out that, spoiler. In the book, you find out that Lady Jessica is the biological daughter of the Baron. That's stated in the book Dune. But there's a prequel where he kind of goes into more detail about it. And essentially, the Bene Gesserit tell the Baron, "Hey, you need to like." You know, impregnate this one of our people so we can keep the bloodlines going, and she's going to give you a daughter. And he gets furious over it because the Baron is a homosexual. And so he essentially rapes this Bene Gesserit woman and gets her pregnant. That's how he does it. He had drugged her and raped her.
Jesus.
And then the punishment from the Bene Gesserit for him doing that. Is to give him a disease that made him incredibly obese and just absolutely like abhorrent to look at. That's the reason why the Baron looks like that. Is because he had raped a Bene Gesserit woman, and then that woman gave birth to Lady Jessica.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
And that's how they did that in this movie, especially in comparing to like 1984, he just looks so goofy. But like in this one, Stella Skarsgård in that costume, his look is so. Just like almost like powerful and almost like, dare I say, beautiful in a sense, just because he's like, he's almost like muscular. Yeah. Like they didn't make him look like a fat baby. Like they didn't make him look like a fat baby. He's more like kind of muscular. He's still imposing and kind of scary and like very intimidating. Yeah, very intimidating. Yeah, though like he still has like kind of like an air of like almost like regalness, for like lack of a better term, I guess. And I don't know. I just love. I can't talk about Stellan Skarsgård's performance enough. I mean, like the way that he was pulling from like guys like Brando in like Apocalypse Now. I don't know if you guys like that obvious reference where he's just like,
yeah.
I don't know. He's doing that thing with like where he rubs the sweat off his head, exactly yeah. like Brando in Apocalypse Now. I mean, he's doing these referencing to these yeah. great movie villains to like create a great movie villain. And he did. He absolutely did that. Like, this is just one of those ones.
I'm excited to see a lot more of him in part two. I think we will. Then what I was referencing earlier is that we're probably going to see a big shift from Chalamet leading the movie to Zendaya leading the movie. They're probably going to be much more co-leads in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that as well. And then also it's really going to pick up. Like, this was all, this movie was clearly about world building and mm-hmm. character introduction. Mm-hmm. And I love that Denis did that. It's phenomenal.
I mean, the director stated that, right? He released a statement that's like, oh, we're just having fun with the camera. Like, that's great.
Yeah, and then now we're gonna have some fun with cinema in part two.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And it's gonna be so awesome.
I think that's another thing where like you just see kind of like how things can be done just better. Like, I don't know, 84 kind of did like the obvious choice of like just dumping all the exposition in like the front and just like and just like just like a head. It's a floating head. We're just gonna dump everything. Yeah, here you go, boom, let's go. And it was just like that's so boring. Yeah.
That's it's Princess Irulan, who he doesn't even get with her at the end. Like, what was the point of her character other than just mm-hmm. like exposition mm-hmm. at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the actress that plays Lady Jessica in 1984 was like, yeah, the second I saw that movie and I saw we were describing the plot of it at the beginning, I knew this was not going to be a good movie.
It's terrible. That's like compared to like Zendaya's exposition in the front, which is like, you know, it's kind of like the same thing, but it's like a few sentences and then we just get right into
it.
It's more of like a preface than anything. Yeah. Like, it's not like exposition dumping.
Yeah. And even that, it feels like dreamlike and it fits with the tone.
And it fits with like the other episodes that Paul has later, you know, you can incorporate it as like, oh, it's just one of his dreams, which they don't even like really do that well in 1984. But gentlemen, I feel like we would be remiss without at least mentioning Jodorowsky's Dune and how great of a fucking movie that would have been.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was like the greatest movie never made. I mean, it's famous for being the greatest movie.
Never made. That's its like catch line.
Yeah. Well, what could have been really, could have been.
We don't have to talk about it too much, but like, I feel like it would be remiss for us not to like
just at least mention it.
Yeah, exactly.
It deserves it. I mean, I'm really curious to know what Jodorowsky thinks of this Dune, because I know what he said something before it came out, like when it like the first trailer dropped.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, what everyone kind of like was thinking, was that he said it looks generic. It looks like it's just going to be like some generic horse shit, basically. I mean, like, kind of like.
Yeah.
But also, this is the man that made The Holy Mountain. Like, anything Hollywood is going to be generic to this man. Like, this guy's a legend, right? He's making shit that nobody's thought about.
I'm just interested to hear what he thinks of it now, because, like, I mean, I definitely had the same thought. Like, when that trailer dropped, I'm like, this is fucking generic as shit. Like, this is going to be Timothy Chalamet right there. Boom. Of course, they got Zendaya in there. Of course, this looks like a plant.
Hey, I'm never going to complain about Zendaya being in a movie.
Hey, never. Never.
All I'm saying, boys, if dreaming about Zendaya makes you the chosen one, give me the crown.
There we go, baby.
That's
come
all
on.
I'm saying.
Dude, you had that one preloaded, Spencer. You had preloaded.
Hey, yo.
Waiting to say that since it came out.
I love it.
I what made me concerned from the trailer, it was actually one line in particular. It was when Jason Momoa put his hand on Chalamet. It was like, you've been putting out some muscle. He's like, really? He's like, nah. And I was like, we doing the Marvel thing now? We doing jokes?
Oh my God.
We doing Momoa's jokes?
Line delivery. Momoa's line delivery is just, he's playing Jason Momoa in this movie. He's playing Jason Momoa. That's what he's doing. Like, it's like The Rock, you know, just plays The Rock in every movie. Jason Momoa.
But this was so stiff. Like, he felt so stiff in this movie. Yeah.
I will say, I did like him in one scene, though. The scene when, I can't remember his name. The Fremen, like, leader comes in.
Yeah.
And it's like when they first arrive on Arrakis.
It's Javier Bardem, right?
Yeah, yes.
Javier.
And he like spits at him, and like the soldiers like start to like like almost attack him, and then like you know, Duncan Idaho has to explain like, oh, that's like a you know, he's like honoring us or whatever. And actually, I thought he was great in that scene. I was like, hey, where's that Jason Momoa? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, that was funny. That was funny. I don't think like, okay, look, in comparison to like other like actual bad roles in other movies, Jason Momoa did fine, you know. But like the entire cast is stacked. Like everyone was doing just on their A game. So like in comparison, it just feels like Jason Momoa is kind of like just like delivering lines. I don't know. He's being Jason Momoa.
100%. You know, totally could not agree.
But that's like with a lot of the side characters too. I mean, there's so many main characters that get fleshed out like well, that some of the others definitely don't get a whole lot of love in terms of like learning about them. Like and not even just Jason Momoa, like Dr. Yue, for example. I mean, he's major in the movie, like in terms of his role, but we don't know shit about him, at least in this movie, you know?
Yeah. That's the same in the book though. You don't really get much of him in the book.
Yeah, but
The ones that I feel like I was hoping to see more out of, and I don't know that we would have been able to make this happen, but Josh Brolin and Thufir Hawat, which, it's also because they were just both really good actors and really interesting characters. But like the line, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like there's only so many people that can get screen time, you know? And so those are two where I was like, oh, I kind of wish we got to see more of them. But I think the way they went about it was Oscar Isaac and, you know, Timothée Chalamet are going to get the you know, the most screen time. And then we're going to distribute it evenly among like Jessica and Gunnar and Thufir and Duncan and the Doctor, and kind of do it like that, which I understand. Like, I guess it does make sense, but I was kind of hoping to see more of those too, because I thought that like it was phenomenal casting and just really good performances from those actors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that with this movie, what I really loved was not only like just the complete, I guess, commitment on like Denis' part for like realizing such a detailed world, but also that like it brought something like fresh. It felt very, I don't know, I guess new for lack of a better term, like just fresh, you know. It did a lot, it did like everything just exactly how it should have been done. I don't know, this whole movie was just amazing, and it feels kind of like it almost feels less like a sci-fi but more like a period piece, if that makes sense. Like with the set design, the pieces, the props, like the costumes and everything, it like it fits the like just the whole world and like reality of them, where like there's no computers, everything's banned, and it's all about just like politics and ceremony. That it just feels like a period piece in that way.
Yeah. I could see that, and we're running a little bit low on time here, but something I kind of want to talk about, because it's brought up so much with Dune, is Star Wars. You know, I think it's kind of known that George Lucas borrowed some ideas from the book when creating the Star Wars movies, which came out before Dune 1984. And when I watched Dune 1984, I was like, oh, like the similarities here are strong. But when I watched Dune 2021, I didn't feel that as much. Like, I really didn't feel it at all. And I think that's a testament to Denis to be like, because you're at such a disadvantage, right? Like, if you're very true to that source novel, it could feel a lot like Star Wars, because Star Wars also was pretty true to that source novel. They just didn't call it Dune. But he found a way to stay accurate to like the book and also making it feel very different from the other, you know, Star Wars movies that had come out, as well as like other like chosen one stories. So I really enjoyed that. I mean, there was in the group I saw when somebody walked in, I was like, it kind of felt like Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah, I bet.
But I thought that was really cool, and that, you know, they did a good way of like avoiding the similarities that were like pretty prevalent.
Well, I think why people compare them too is, one, those two movies came out at very similar times, and it's kind of like an example of like, oh, how do you do like, you know, how do you do sci-fi movies differently, you know?
And
I think that another reason is those are like two of like the most important I guess like sci-fi brands of all time. you know?
Yeah.
Like I mean, and going back to Jodorowsky's Dune for a second, I mean, a lot of the people that were supposed to work on Jodorowsky's Dune ended up working on Star Wars. Like, there's going to be, like, you know, people that are big fans of Dune that translated over to Star Wars in that time because, you know, just the way the movies, like, became, like, the cultural center. And not, and like, books are important, obviously, but, like, I mean, everybody knows Star Wars. Not everybody knew Dune, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but that's why, like, I don't know. I think that's, like, just another reason why, like, Denis, and this is basically, like, just turned into, like, us kind of, like, blowing smoke up Denis' ass, or, like, for an entire episode, basically. Hey, but, like, deservedly.
No complaints on my part.
Yeah, deservedly so. Deservedly so. Because, like, he has just that rare combination of, like, big ideas and determination, like, but also humility, and, like, approaches the stories very well. He almost, like, just, like, a very, like, open mind, and, like, just trying to figure out how to do things, I guess, a little different. Like, I mean, he says it himself, like, he likes to do practical sets. He likes to get involved. He likes to go out and, like, actually shoot stuff, try to use CGI as little as possible, and the sound. And like, he wants to use, like, natural sounds, blah, blah. And it really translates, like, just that creating that reality really translates well as an, like, a member of the audience. And he's just one of those guys that can just do that on that grand scale without, like, losing that humanity, I guess.
Yeah. He's definitely one of the best directors working today, in terms of, I don't know how you define, like, where our generation starts and where the previous one ends. I don't know what the time
it's all ambiguous.
Yeah, if he falls into our generation, he's definitely one of the best of our generation. Mm-hmm.
Whatever generation he's a part of, he's one of the best.
The best.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, whichever one we want to put him in, he's, like, top three in there for sure. Mm-hmm. And I do really hope he's able to sneak in on the Academy Awards. I'm sure Jane Campion for Power of the Dog, I think, is probably going to be a shoo-in. And front runner, PTA, Wes Anderson are going to be in there. I didn't see it. I heard it wasn't that great.
What, Edgar?
Yeah, Edgar.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to make it. I'm not going to
lie. I'd say Denis is a much better shot at it than him.
If he does, it's just because he's Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he hasn't had that many nods in the past. I mean, what did he get? He didn't get anything for Scott Pilgrim. And that was the fucking best movie of all time.
His nods have all been on the writing end. I don't even know if he's kind of directed. Yeah,
which is deserved. His writing is fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Tarantino. He's always getting stuff for writing, but he's never one for directing.
It's unfortunate.
But no, like, I think Jane, and then the two Andersons are, like, the lock for the three. Mm-hmm. And other than that, it's open. It's like Denis Villeneuve can be in there. The director of King Richard will be in there. Guillermo del Toro has a movie coming out, so it's gonna be tough. I mean, there's a Coen Brothers movie coming out. So, like,
there's a Coen this year.
Joel Coen, so I don't know if he squeezes in or not. I hope so, but he's got a shot at it, which is good. I don't think he. I'm gonna fact check this real quick, but I don't know. Did he get a nomination for Blade Runner?
Yeah, there's a few. I think, if I'm not mistaken. While you look that up, I just want to mention, like, some of the cinematography shit, because I find it interesting. They started shooting this film in, like, fully digital, which is wild. And, like, Denis Villeneuve was just not happy with that. And he switched over to 35mm, like, partially through.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Like, what the fuck? And then he scanned it back to digital. Like, legend. I mean, you always gonna do that, but still, like, it's funny.
What a legend, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, lighting's different. When you've worked with film forever, it's, like, hard to, like, that's a good example with Jodorowsky, not to bring him up again, but, like, his film in 2013, The Dance of Reality, he shot that on digital, and the lighting looks wild, because he's been shooting on film for fucking, what, like, 60 years?
Yeah.
Bro, just stick to film, man. It looks great, I promise. Looks amazing. Like, hope he makes another movie before he dies. Side note.
Clarifying point here. Denis did not get a nomination for Blade Runner. He did get one for Arrival. So that is his current. That's currently his only Oscar nomination.
Yeah. Arrival. I mean, Arrival's great, but, like,
Arrival is great. Yeah, I can see that.
Could have been more of a factor really not, in the movies that came not, out that year.
What else has he done? Prisoners, fucking amazing.
There's Enemy. Enemy was fantastic.
Enemy was great.
Enemy was amazing. Like, he should have gone.
Talk about Jake Gyllenhaal, fucking legend.
We love it. Sicario. I mean, that, you know, that's still like a great movie. I think I love that movie. Yeah, but
boys, Jake Gyllenhaal's, he's under a little bit of fire right now.
What's going on with my man?
He's getting toasted.
Taylor Swift released it's nothing that bad. Taylor Swift just released a 10-minute short film for one of her re-recorded songs, and it's just all going after Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Wait, why? So now, did they date?
Now her whole...
That kind of makes him more of a legend, though.
Yeah, honestly, that makes him better. I like him more.
The poor guy woke up this morning to the entire Taylor Swift fandom, which is strong, mind you, coming after him. He might need to go off the phone for a few days.
Taylor Swift, look, she's got some hits, but, like, come on. We all know that she's, like, she's not that great. I will say that publicly. I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift. You like her, great. Don't hate Jake Gyllenhaal just because they
probably an example of like toxic femininity. Look, great music and all, and like, but as a person, probably an example of toxic femininity. I don't know. That's a very big assumption.
You know what?
I have no idea.
New title to the podcast or new title to this podcast: toxic femininity.
Toxic femininity.
Aaron, Taylor Swift: toxic femininity.
There you go. Dune: Taylor Swift: toxic femininity. That's the title right there. Y'all see it. It'll be up. I'm going to just change it. This is going to be like three parts, and I'm just going to change the title. Do two parts. We're making it two parts, like the movie.
We love it. Oh, man.
All right. We want to get into our closing thoughts here, gentlemen?
I think we definitely should.
Yeah. You guys go first. I got mine.
I'll start us off since I started it off earlier. I think this is a great movie. You know, I think it does a lot of the things right that these big budget movies really, like, a lot of them fail at. I think the casting, all great. Honestly, I know I didn't get to mention it earlier, but I didn't mind Jason Momoa that much. I thought some of his, like, comedy was a little out of place, but that's fine. You know, that's, like, you know, him trying to do what Jason Momoa does. Other than that, fucking everyone was great. Josh Brolin, legend. Someone that we didn't mention, Dr. Kynes, what is it?
Oh, Kynes, yes.
Great actress. She killed that role, like, absolutely murdered it. Great. Mm-hmm. Who else we got? Zendaya, I'm looking forward to seeing her in the new movie. What's his face? The guy that played the polka dot man in the Suicide Squad, he did great. You know, some of the little, like, you know, smaller roles you don't really think of, you know, other than that. Cinematography, I thought, was really interesting. You know, I'm a big sucker for good cinematography. I like the cinematographer in this. Other than that, I mean, you know, there's not much to say. Great world. I'm glad that it's on the big screen in a better way now than the 1984 one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Aaron? As always, I feel the need to remind you, the score out of 10, what are we thinking?
Right. It's either 8 or a 9, honestly. Like, I feel like it's hard to give a rating again without, like, seeing the full, like, scope of it, without seeing the second part. I'll give it a 9. I'll do 9. I'm not comfortable giving it a 10, I don't think, because I think there are things that, like, you know, without the finality of it, I can't really give it a, what's it called?
Okay. I'll go next. I have less of an issue than I think you guys do in terms of, like, grading this as a film. I know that there's still another movie coming out that's going to continue this story. But this is also still a 2-hour, 40-minute movie. So, like, there's plenty of work was done here. And I agree very much with Aaron's sentiments, with Geo's sentiments. This was a phenomenal film. It felt so good and so right to just finally see this movie. This book brought to life on a big screen just felt so good. I think across the board, like, there's nothing bad. There's things that are phenomenal, and then there's things that are good. You're looking at very talented actors, very great cast. I'd say the acting as a whole was very well done. Screenplay is not, I mean, it was serviceable. Nothing blows you away there, but kind of be expected with a big budget movie. Beautifully shot. All the details were very well done. The score was definitely interesting, but I liked it. Like, it felt like he was trying to take a lot from, like, cultures that he thought would be part of Dune. And so, like, what Hans Zimmer was doing there, and he's been hyping up the score for part two. So I'm excited about that as well. I look at this, I'd give an 8.5 out of 10. And that's a great score. It's a great movie. I would highly recommend it to anybody. Even it's a movie that, like, if you're like a movie person, you'll love. And I think if you're not a movie person, you can still get some enjoyment out of it.
Very well spoken, Spencer.
Yes, absolutely. True poet. True poet. Yeah, no. I mean, what more can honestly be said? You know, it's a huge sci-fi epic, but it also just feels like, I don't know, like an intimate journey of Paul, obviously, and an intimate story, but just on a massive grand scale. You know, I love the almost Apocalypse Now aspect of it all, where it's just a very introspective journey. You know, this boy is going like deeper and deeper into the desert, learns more about himself, and that relationship with the landscape is reflected throughout. You know, it feels like nature is almost the main character of this story in that aspect. And I love it. I think Denis was the perfect man for this job, given his career-long fascination and, you know, with tackling identity in his films to reflect that. And he, on top, like more so than anything, he made it accessible. You know, this is a movie that has like a lot of big themes going on, but it's also, you know, something for the girls to party to this summer. It's really, he just succeeded in making that accessible, you know? And I love it because also the film, you know, centers and focuses on women, which is like very awesome. They're at the heart of the film, you know, all that underlying strength and power that they have, they're in everything, you know, and all those, you know, divine feminine themes. We love it. We really love it. And yeah, and not even to mention, we didn't even get that crazy into the sound, which just sounds fucking amazing. It's like, we love how the sounds and stack and merge, you know, the score. You don't know where the score or the sound design begin, or like, you know, where the score ends and the sound design begins. And that just comes from Denis putting those guys together. And you can tell they really had time to flesh all that out. And it's just amazing. I think, you know, but, you know, I think it's all summarized in this quote that I love from Denis. He says, "I strongly believe that the future of cinema is on the big screen. Cinema on the big screen is more than a business. It is an art form that brings people together." And I think this movie absolutely encapsulates that. And they just hit it out the park with this one. If I had to give it out of 10, I would give it a 9. And that's only because we don't know. We haven't seen part 2. We don't know what's gonna be and how it's gonna look, blah, blah. But I think if he does get the opportunity to finish off not only part 2, but finish off the trilogy with Messiah and everything, I think we're gonna have like just a really great, the next great trilogy on our hands. And yeah, we love it. I love it. I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, since we are all in consensus, that this is a must watch. We all highly recommend it. Definitely go check it out.
One last thing before your closing thing, Spencer. Did you guys know that Denis Villeneuve is set to direct a Cleopatra movie?
I did not.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounds like him, though.
Just casually caught it up on the IMDb. Wild. Anyway, Spencer, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, but also let's before, while we're last thoughts, one last thing. Let's not, all this talk about colonialism, eugenics, you know, religious syncretism, that good stuff. Let's talk about the real meaning, that all wars should be fought on drugs. You know, all wars should just be fought on drugs. The war on drugs? No. War on drugs?
War on drugs.
Yeah.
War on drugs.
Comma. Get a comma in there.
War.
Get the comma.
The power of a comma right there.
Let's eat, Grandma.
Shut up, Aaron. Okay.
That was a good one.
What a fun callback. Thank you for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. Till the next time, I'm Spencer.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Gio.
And this has been the 35 millimeter colonoscopy podcast, reminding you that if you're hitting that spice, there's going to be a holy war coming your way. Thanks, everybody.